Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much, and the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No household servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
You know, you have to love little kids. Little Cora's up there, and she's got a shirt on. It's an orange shirt, you know, sort of a Halloween orange shirt. It says, so cute, I'm scary. I think that's what it says, something like that. When do you get to wear a shirt like that? Any other time, right? I have a shirt like that, but my family won't let me wear it. I've been encouraging you all to keep up with the sermon series. It's a four-week series, and last week, I know with our online folks, we heard a comment. I gave you an opportunity. It was a brochure that had you sort of look at your own finances, and it had you think about your saving and your whether you're paying down debt and then your generosity. On the back, it had all those. Remember that? We walked through it. And those of you who are online, if you go back to the sermon archive, you'll find an electronic version of that. So if you're somewhere and you can't get access to it because you're not here, and anybody, if you missed that week, go back and look at it online. And we had a little sermon archive issue this week, but I think that's been taken care of now. But the brochure is there. And we can, if you want a hard copy, see me after the service, and I'm sure we can get one for you, see Nadim or me. And I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me as we turn now to the sermon. Lord, I pray for your blessing on the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and I pray that these would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, you are our redeemer, and you have afforded us the opportunity to reflect on the scripture in a way that might help us think about how to apply it and how to live it. And I pray for that transaction this moment through your spirit. In Christ's name, amen. This past week, I was watching a PBS documentary. Seriously, that's when you know your pastor's big nerd, when he opens a sermon that way. But it was on the Terracotta Warriors. Do you know about the Terracotta Warriors? So interesting, so interesting. This man in China was digging a well and found these pieces of terracotta and suddenly realized that this was not just some random pieces, but that it was something, a part of something much, much larger. And fortunately, before any damage was done, reached out and found archaeologists, and they came. And this is the terracotta army that was found on his property. That's like when your backyard is worth something, right? And so they the collection of terracotta sculptures is the army. It depicts the armies of Qin Shi Huang. And I hope this is in Mandarin. My Mandarin is not real good, friends. So thank you for your patience. But I think that's how that's pronounced. He was the first emperor of China, and he lived during a time when there were four or five provinces, and they were all at war. And he was a great military tactician and general. And his province slowly conquered the next and the next and the next and unified them so that now it is the modern country of China, and the Qin dynasty became later China. And his public works projects were vast. He had a road system. He connected a group of interconnected walls, and that would later become the first level of the Great Wall of China. His wall actually fell down later, but was rebuilt as the Great Wall of China. And this is his mausoleum. So he looked for what's called the elixir of life, much like the Spanish look for the fountain of youth in Florida. He looked for the elixir of life because what he wanted was immortality. But not finding the elixir of life, like a lot of other historical figures have been disappointed by that search, he decided instead to build himself a mausoleum And the mausoleum is actually a huge mound. And his place where he was buried, they believe, is right on the top of that mound. And then this land is on the around, surrounding it. And on that land surrounding the mausoleum, he wanted to have an army that would guard him in eternity. And the archaeologists actually believe that the positioning of the army is very strategic. They actually think it was to prevent the angry spirits of those he had killed in battle from invading and taking him over in death. And so he actually positioned his army. And so these are the pictures of the terracotta warriors. And there were horses for cavalry and for chariots. These horses and the other soldiers were to protect the emperor in the afterlife. And this took years and years to construct and to create, as you can imagine. Each of these warriors weighs about 400 pounds, and by the time Shen Shi Huang died in 210 BC, there were over 8,000 soldiers, 130 chariots, 520 horses, 150 cavalry, all which surround the mausoleum, and they don't think they found it all yet. Now, I want you to think about how much of his wealth, how much of his power, how much of his resources went into creating his afterlife. Does that make sense? I mean, is that not remarkable? Is that not worthy of a Sunday night of watching TV? I mean, that's just amazing to me. Not only were there all the army and everything, there's all